Okay, let's unpack this. You can look at a dog, chasing a tennis ball, tail wagging, and just see pure, unadulterated health.
Right. They look perfectly fine to us.
Exactly. But what if a massive structural failure is happening right inside their chest? And, well, they are biologically hardwired to lie to you about
That's
it.
a pretty terrifying thought for any pet owner.
It really is. So whether you have a pup sleeping at your feet right now or, you're just fascinated by medical mysteries, this deep dive is for you.
Yeah, we're looking at a really incredible study today.
Right. Today's mission is to unpack a 2026 study published in the Australian Journal of Agricultural, Veterinary and Animal Sciences.
And this was conducted at the ProCare Veterinary Hospital in Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam, right?
Yes, exactly. And the sheer scale of this is amazing. They screened nearly 4,000 dogs, 3,840 to be exact, to track this hidden progressive condition called Myxomatous Mitral Valve Disease, or MMVD for short.
Which is such a massive undertaking. I mean, screening that many dogs, whether they just came in for routine checks or like a minor cough.
It's a huge data set.
It really is. It provides this incredibly robust look at a disease that operates entirely under the radar. Out of all those dogs, 232 were flagged for suspected heart issues just during the initial physical exams.
Okay.
And then, after doing thorough echocardiography, they found 84 dogs definitively diagnosed with MMVD.
Wow, so that's what, over 2%?
Yeah, about 2.19% of all the dogs they examined.
But why should you care about this? I mean, the study reveals how a seemingly healthy animal can be masking a severe structural failure, and how modern diagnostics literally mean the difference between life and death.
Absolutely. And to understand how vets diagnose this, we have to look at what MMVD actually is.
Right, the mechanics of it.
Exactly. It's a progressive degeneration of the mitral valve leaflets. Those are the structures that separate the left atrium and the left ventricle in the heart.
They're supposed to keep the blood moving in one direction, right?
Right. But with this disease, the valve can't close properly anymore. So you get this dangerous backflow of blood, which we call regurgitation. Okay, I like to think of the mitral valve like a slightly warped front door during a storm.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, so at first, just a tiny draft gets in. You barely even notice it. But as the hinges degenerate over time, the wind just blows the door wide open and suddenly the whole house floods.
That's a perfect analogy for the chronic volume overload that happens here. And the researchers use the ACVIN stages, that's the American College of Veterinary Internal Medicine, to track this flooding.
So they focused on stages B1, B2, and C. Right. Let's break those down.
Sure. So in stage B1, the dogs are virtually asymptomatic. Like the owner just sees a perfectly healthy animal.
Just a tiny draft in the house.
Exactly. The only clinical indicator at that point is a very low-grade murmur, usually graded between a 0 and a 2 out of 6.
But then it gets worse in B2.
Yeah, structurally, the disease has progressed. The study showed that about 35.33% of stage B2 dogs started coughing.
And some started having trouble breathing too, right?
Right. 36.67% started showing signs of dyspnea, which is labored breathing, or pulmonary edema.
Wow. Imagine being the owner. Your dog seems totally fine, like 90% of the time. Maybe they just clear their throat after a walk.
But a time bomb is already ticking.
Exactly. And then they hit stage C, and the symptoms just escalate so aggressively.
They really do. Severe dyspnea jumps to over 44% of the dog.
And the fainting, right? That part is terrifying.
Yeah, syncope. A full 25% of the dogs in stage C were experiencing sudden fainting spells.
Because their brain just isn't getting enough oxygen.
Right. The volume of blood sloshing backward into the atrium instead of moving forward causes these sudden drops in blood flow to the brain.
Wait. This brings up something really counterintuitive about the murmurs.
Oh, yeah. What's fascinating here is the murmur data.
Right, because you would think if the door is blown wide open and blood is just violently sloshing backward, the murmur would just keep getting louder and louder.
You would logically assume that, yes. The louder the alarm, the worse the failure. And the study does show that most dogs in stages B2 and C had murmurs graded at a 3 out of 6 or higher.
But it's not a perfect match.
Not at all. A loud murmur does not perfectly correlate to the worst stage. Some of the stage C dogs, the ones literally fainting and having severe pulmonary edema, they only had a grade 3 out of 6 murmur.
So the dog is practically collapsing, but the sound in their chest is actually muffled. How does that work?
Well, it comes down to factors like reduced cardiac output. The turbulence that creates the murmur sound requires forward velocity and pressure.
Oh, I see. So if the heart is failing so badly.
Exactly. If the output is so depressed by all that regurgitation, there just isn't enough kinetic energy left to make a loud sound.
That is wild.
Plus, you have to consider the thoracic conformation, the actual shape of the dog's chest acting as acoustic insulation.
So a vet just listening with a stethoscope, that's not enough. Outward signs like a cough or a heartbeat are just totally unreliable narrators.
Which is why the conversation has to shift to how we look inside the dog. We need to measure the true extent of this invisible flooding.
Right, the real detective work. So the study used three main diagnostic tools to track this, right? Start with the first one, the radiographs.
Yeah, thoracic radiography. They use something called the vertebral heart size, or VHS metric.
Because you can't just measure a dog's heart in inches, right?
Mm-hmm.
A Chihuahua and a Mastiff are completely different.
Exactly. So the VHS uses the dog's own spine as the scale.
That is so smart. You measure the heart and then just kind of lay it against the vertebrae on the x-ray.
Right, starting at the fourth thoracic vertebra. And the progression they mapped is pretty ominous. In stage B1, the average VHS was 10.00.
Okay, so 10 vertebrae.
Right. But by stage B2, the heart has grown against the spine to an average of 10.85. And in stage C, it hits 11.66.
Wow, so you can visibly see it swelling. But an x-ray is just a static picture, right? It doesn't show the plumbing.
For that, you need the gold standard, which is echocardiography.
Yeah.
It lets us see the chambers in real time.
And they specifically looked at the LAA ratio. That's the left atrium to the aorta, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. The aorta is highly pressurized and stays pretty fixed in size. But the left atrium is a low-pressure chamber.
So when that backflow happens, the atrium just stretches out like a water balloon.
Exactly. Normal ratio in B1 is about 1.38. By B2, it expands aggressively to 1.76.
Oh, wow. And anything over 1.6 means significant enlargement.
Right. And by stage C, it's all the way up to 2.18.
That is a massive structural change.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have the x-ray and the echo. What's the third tool?
The NT-proBNP blood test. This is the chemical distress signal.
I love how you described this earlier. It's like the heart is firing off a flare gun.
It really is. When the myocardial wall gets stretched to its limits, it releases this peptide into the blood. In B1, it's around 500 picograms per milliliter.
Okay.
In B2, it jumps to 953.8.
Almost double.
Yeah. And in stage C, it absolutely skyrockets to 2,131.8.
The numbers are just staggering. But wait, here's where it gets really interesting to me. I was looking at the fractional shortening data in the study.
Yes. The FS metric.
Right. Fractional shortening measures the heart's ability to squeeze, right?
Yes. Systolic function.
So if the dog's heart is literally failing and they are fainting, shouldn't its ability to squeeze and pump get noticeably worse? But the study said there was no significant change across the stages. Like, the p-value was 0.575.
It seems like a contradiction, right? But if we connect this to the bigger picture, it makes perfect sense.
Really? How?
Because MMVD is a disease of volume overload, not primary systolic myocardial failure.
Oh, so the muscle itself isn't weak.
Exactly. The heart is actually squeezing just fine. Sometimes it even squeezes harder to compensate.
Because the door is broken.
Right. The blood is just sloshing backward. The fractional shortening metric doesn't tell you what direction the blood is going, just how hard the heart is squeezing.
Wow. Okay, so the pump is working, but the pipes are leaking. That makes so much sense.
Exactly.
So now that we understand how these tools pinpoint the exact stage of the structural failure, we have to talk about the stakes.
The treatment outcomes.
Right. How does knowing the exact stage change the dog's odds of survival? Because the contrast in the ProCare data is just stark.
It really is. So at stage B1, they don't even administer specific cardiac treatment yet.
You just watch and wait.
Right. But at stage B2, when they initiate treatment, the success rate was a massive 98.18%.
That is incredible. Out of 55 dogs, only one failed to respond, right?
Yes. But then look at stage C, the success rate plummets to just 43.48%.
Wow. So over 56% of cases just don't respond to treatment at all.
Right.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? I mean, if you wait until your dog is visibly fainting or severely panting stage C to get an echo, their chances of successful treatment are literally worse than a coin flip.
That's the ultimate takeaway. The body's compensatory mechanisms are incredible, but they are finite.
Like, how does the body compensate in B2 that makes treatment work so well?
Well, the kidneys sense the drop in forward blood flow, so they activate systems to retain sodium and water. They're trying to boost blood volume to keep the pressure up.
Which is great if you're, like, bleeding out. But terrible if your heart is already flooding.
Exactly. In B2, the dog retains these mechanisms, and treatment like using pimobendan to improve forward flow works really well to stabilize things.
But by stage C, the system is just completely overwhelmed.
Right. Overt decompensation has occurred. Fluid is physically leaking into the lungs. The foundation has sheared apart.
Now, to be fair, we should mention the limitations of the study, right? It's not a perfect data set.
Of course. The sample size of confirmed cases was relatively small, 84 dogs.
And there weren't any stage D dogs, which is the absolute end stage.
Right. Plus, it was a cross-sectional study, so it lacked a long-term survival analysis over time. And there was no ECG data, so we don't know about concurrent arrhythmias like atrial fibrillation.
But even with those limitations, the difference between a 98% success rate and a 43% success rate is huge.
Unignorable. Relying on NT-proBNP markers and echocardiograms before the dog looks sick is the whole point of modern veterinary medicine.
Absolutely. So just to recap this incredible journey, we've gone from understanding the physical mechanics of a leaky mitral valve.
The inverted parachute or work door.
Right. To the precision of LAAO ratios and those NT-proBNP chemical flare guns. And finally, to the literal life-saving importance of catching the disease in stage B2 instead of stage C.
Catching it before the compensatory tricks run out.
Which leads me to this final thought for you to ponder on your own. You know, animals have evolved to hide their pain and their illnesses as a cure survival mechanism against predators.
It's deeply embedded in their DNA.
Exactly. So knowing how beautifully a dog can compensate for a failing heart right up until the last moment, it makes you wonder, how many other subtle progressive conditions are our pets, or honestly, even we humans, masking right under our noses?
Appearing perfectly healthy on the surface.
While the internal system slowly, quietly reaches its breaking point, it really changes how you look at health.
It definitely does.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Stay curious, and maybe always look a little closer at the health of your furry companions. We'll catch you next time.